Welcome to the Simple Bible Course. My name is Josh Watson. This is session 24, The End Times. The End Times, of course, is a little bit of a misleading title because things won't ever come to a complete end. They'll just change. So this session, we'll be talking about what the Bible says concerning future events and how things will change from the way they are now. And even though the last book of the Bible, Revelation, talks almost exclusively about future events, there are also other books in the New Testament and even in the Old Testament that are prophetic as well. So I'm just going to go in a chronological order of the way things will take place and reference passages as they relate. The first event, then, that will take place, which you can read about in 1 Thessalonians 4, is what is called the rapture, which literally means caught up or taken away. This could happen at any time now, and it refers to when Jesus Christ will suddenly appear in the clouds and will take away all believers on earth to go be with him in heaven. The Bible says Jesus will descend from heaven with a shout or a loud command, the voice of an archangel, followed by a loud blast from the trumpet of God. And once these announcements have been made, it says that the dead in Christ will rise first. The term dead in Christ refers to believers who have already died. They are in Christ since they're believers, and their spirit is with Christ in heaven, but their bodies are still in the ground. And so when Christ appears in the clouds, it says the dead in Christ will rise first. Their bodies will rise, be transformed into a glorified body, and be joined with their spirit. And then those who are in Christ who are still alive at the time, still living on the earth, they will then be caught up together in the clouds with Christ along with all the others who are dead in Christ. They too will receive transformed and glorified bodies as well. And so we will all meet Jesus right there in the air in the clouds, and it says that from that point on, we will always be with the Lord. We will always be with Jesus for the rest of eternity. And again, this could happen at any moment, on any day. It's called the rapture. Now, I'm sure you're a little interested as to what these transformed and glorified bodies are going to be like, which we receive. And ultimately, nobody really knows for sure, but we do have some idea from Scripture. And the best hint as to what these glorified bodies will be like is the fact that the Bible says that Jesus is the firstborn from the dead, and that we will rise and be made just like him. So if we look carefully at the glorified body of Jesus after he rose from the dead and what it was like, then we'll learn a lot about what our glorified bodies will be like as well. First off, there are three occasions where Jesus' followers didn't immediately recognize him. The disciples on the road to Emmaus, Mary, and the disciples in Galilee. So there must be some aspect of the glorified body where we look at least a little different than how we do now. Then we read that after Jesus rose from the dead, he passed through closed doors on two occasions. He vanished from sight at least once and ascended up into heaven in front of a lot of people, which means our glorified bodies will probably be very similar in what it is capable of doing. Then once the rapture has occurred and all believers have been glorified and caught up into heaven with Christ, a couple things will take place there in heaven. The first event is the judgment seat of Christ. All believers who have now gone up into heaven will appear before Christ in order to be judged on how they live their life on earth as a believer. Of course, this has nothing to do with the person's salvation because these are all believers who are already in heaven. It only has to do with rewards given for what believers did for Christ on earth. It talks more about this in 1 Corinthians 3. If a person has faith in Christ and builds on that faith with lots of Christian service and good works, then he will receive rewards in return. If he pretty much wasted his time on earth after becoming a believer, then it will all just burn up and he'll feel a sense of loss. But of course, he'll still be saved because of his faith. This is what is called the judgment seat of Christ, a judgment of believers in heaven that takes place after the rapture for the purpose of rewards. The other event that will take place in heaven is what is called the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is basically a great celebration in heaven over the fact that Christ and his bride, the church, are finally and eternally joined together. Just as there is a celebration at almost any wedding on earth, the same will take place in heaven when Christ is permanently joined to his bride. And again, this is called the marriage supper of the Lamb. So, first the rapture will take place. We'll join Christ in the clouds and receive glorified bodies. Then in heaven we'll appear before the judgment seat to receive rewards and then join in a great feast and celebration, much like a marriage celebration, and for a similar purpose. Now, all of this is a glimpse into heaven and what will be happening there after Jesus takes all believers from the earth in the rapture. But that means that at this point, the only people left on earth are unbelievers. And the Bible tells us what will happen here on earth as well. Soon after the rapture of the church, there will be a period of time where God will pour out his judgments and his wrath on the earth. This is what is called the Great Tribulation. This will be the worst time in all the history of the world, far worse than anything anyone on earth has ever experienced. And to begin this Great Tribulation, a rebellion will take place on earth, and a certain man will make himself known to the world as the leader of that rebellion, a man called the Antichrist. It says that this, quote, man of sin or man of lawlessness will exalt himself up against every so-called God or object of worship and will take his seat in the temple of God, claiming that he himself is God. And once that happens and the Antichrist has made himself known, the Great Tribulation will officially begin. This will be a period of 7 years prophesied in the book of Daniel, 7 years of great suffering and chaos on earth caused by God as a punishment on the nations because of their wickedness. Now, just as a side note here, some people call only the last half or the last 3.5 years of this 7 year period of time the Great Tribulation because it's much worse than the first half and also because the Antichrist makes himself more known. Others call the whole 7 years the Great Tribulation. Either way, it will be a miserable time to live on earth from beginning to end. And thankfully, we won't have to be here as believers. During these 7 years, though, there will be a continuous outpouring of God's wrath on the world, which is described in the book of Revelation from chapters 6 to 16. These acts of God's punishment are pictured in Revelation by seals being opened, trumpets being blown, and bowls being poured out. The Jews will be spared for the most part during this time, but will suffer greatly during the last 3.5 years at the hands of the Antichrist. You see, the Antichrist will make a covenant with the nation of Israel at the beginning of the 7 years, promising an alliance and allowing them to rebuild their temple and offer sacrifices in it. But he will break that covenant with Israel at the midpoint of the 7 years, at the 3.5 year mark, and then become their enemy just as much as he was their friend, and he'll cause them much suffering. In fact, the Antichrist will even conquer all of the land of Israel, including Jerusalem, and will set up his own residence there in the land. His persecution of the Jews at that time will be so severe that 2/3 of the entire Jewish population will be wiped out. It will be a horrific time for the nation of Israel as a people, but it will be the perfect setting for what will happen next. And that event that happens next is the revelation or the second coming of Jesus Christ. Already Christ came in the clouds about 7 years earlier to receive his bride, the believers, and take them all to heaven for judgment and a celebration. But now Jesus will come again. But this time, he'll come all the way down to the earth. So, here's the setting. The Antichrist will have just led his army to victory in a major battle against the Jews, a battle commonly known as the Battle of Armageddon. The Jews will have suffered lots of persecution, combined by a huge loss in this battle, with only 1/3 of them remaining alive. And so they'll feel very dejected and hopeless. At that point, though, while the Antichrist is celebrating his victory with his army at the close of the 7 years, all of a sudden, Jesus will appear in great power and glory along with the saints and angels at his side. Jesus will descend directly onto the Mount of Olives across from Jerusalem, the same place he ascended into heaven after his resurrection. And as soon as Jesus' feet touch the mountain, the Mount of Olives, it will split into two right down the middle. Jesus will then cast both the Antichrist as well as his assistant, the false prophet, directly into the lake of fire. And he'll slay the entire army of the Antichrist right where they are. And because the remaining Jews will be looking on, those who survived, and they'll see what Jesus does to both the Antichrist and his entire army in order to rescue them, they will finally accept Jesus as their Messiah, their King and Deliverer. Now comes a very important judgment that takes place. During those 7 years on earth, during the tribulation, there will be some people who turn to Christ and become believers. It will be an extremely difficult time to do so and to make such a commitment to Christ since the church is gone, and there will be lots of persecution along with all the suffering from God's punishments. But still, some will come to Christ during that time. And so, after Jesus has thrown the Antichrist and the false prophet into the lake of fire and destroyed his entire army, He will then carry out a judgment on earth and separate the believers from the non-believers. This is what it's talking about in the Gospel of Matthew when it says that Jesus will separate the sheep from the goats, or the wheat from the tares. Jesus will judge all those alive on earth at the time and put the unbelievers on his left and the believers on his right. The unbelievers will then be sent away to punishment, but the believers will stay with him there on earth. After that part of the judgment is completed, Jesus will then bring to life and give glorified bodies to two sets of people. Number one, those who believed in Christ and died during the seven-year tribulation. And number two, all of the Old Testament believers. Both of these sets of believers will receive new glorified bodies at this time and will join the already glorified saints who came back with Christ to earth. All of these glorified saints will then assist Jesus in his 1,000-year rule on earth as king. But before Jesus begins his millennial rule as king over all the earth, one other thing needs to take place: the binding of Satan. After the judgment and after the resurrection of tribulation saints and Old Testament saints, Jesus will then bind Satan and place him in a place called the bottomless pit, where he will be confined for 1,000 years while Christ rules as king on earth. This will be an incredibly awesome time to live on earth, as you can imagine, because you'll have Jesus as king, Satan will be bound and unable to deceive, and so many believers will be living on earth. And this is what things will be like when Jesus begins his 1,000-year rule. Remember one thing, though. Along with Jesus at this point, you have two sets of believers living on the earth. The first set is those who have already died and resurrected with a glorified body. And the second set is those who believed in Christ during the tribulation and have stayed alive all the way to the end. They will be just like you and me right now, normal humans who will continue to live out their lives and reproduce as normal until they die. All right, so now the millennium begins. For 1,000 years, life on earth will be about as good as it can be. It'll be a time period that will show what life is like when the world follows the will of God and makes him their leader and Lord. And it'll start out with mostly glorified saints living in bodies like that of Jesus after his resurrection. However, like we already mentioned, there will also be a small population of normal humans, believers, that is, who will continue to multiply throughout the 1,000 years until the glorified to non-glorified ratio starts to become a little more even. Now, obviously, the great majority of these new people being born on earth during the millennium will become believers because of all the favorable conditions. Jesus is king, Satan is bound, and there are believers everywhere. However, because those children are still being born from sinful parents, those that aren't glorified yet, even though those parents might be believers, the children will still be born with a sin nature and will need to put their faith in Christ in order to receive salvation and the Holy Spirit. And again, it will be much easier for them to believe given the conditions, but not all of them will believe. Some of them will follow the desires of their flesh and their own will and will rebel against God. And so by the time that the 1,000 years are completed, there will be enough of these unbelievers on earth for Satan to put together an army and stage one last final attack against Jesus and all believers in order to gain world control. However, just as Satan gets ready to attack after he's unleashed, God will send fire from heaven and will consume his entire army. Satan will then be cast into the lake of fire for an eternal punishment, where it says that he, along with the Antichrist and the false prophet who are already there, will be tormented day and night, forever and ever. And now this brings us to the last judgment that will take place, the Great White Throne Judgment. The Great White Throne Judgment is the judgment that will take place at the close of the millennium, after Satan has been released from the bottomless pit and then cast into the lake of fire. At this point, all the unbelievers of all ages, from creation until the end of the millennium, will all be brought before this throne where Christ will judge them. And every one of them, because they are unbelievers and their names are not written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, will be sentenced to eternal damnation and will be judged according to how they live their lives on earth. There are degrees of punishment also. And finally, we come to the best part, the ushering in of the new heaven and the new earth. Once the great white throne judgment is complete, and all unbelievers and wicked people of all ages are sentenced forever to the lake of fire, this is what it says in the book of Revelation that will happen next. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. May the Lord Jesus Christ come quickly. This concludes the Simple Bible Course.